target? Oh, absolutely.
You're not playing ball.
So if that's the case, and you think that you're not a target, how do you think a person feels when you call the police and they don't come when you need them, but when they want something they come and they're very, very disrespectful because they always think that you're always guilty no matter what?
Well, sort of been there, done that.
Blue eyes,
yes.
Short,
no,
white
no, no,
guy.
Seriously, sort
no.
of been there, done that.
What? No.
20-something years ago, I swung by my mom and dad's house to drop something off, backed out of the driveway, noticed the front door was kicked in, nobody was home. Went in, called the police.
Yep.
The next morning, they called me into the sheriff's department. The guy looked at me point blank and says, "You did it."
But they didn't say you did it because you were white. You got to understand that. See, you might have looked like the guy down the street. But see, he didn't automatically say you did it because you're a white man with blue eyes.
No, because, well.
You gotta understand.
I'm guessing at that stage of the game, it was probably economic.
But still, he didn't say it because you're white. So no matter, there are people that are 60 years old who still get profiled in, you know, $50,000 cars and get pulled over. And they are CEOs of companies and they have millions of dollars. That's not a good feeling. You pay your taxes, you do what you're supposed to do, and you really think that somebody's going to be there and they're going to protect and serve you when they pull you out or over and they say, "You look suspicious." And he looks and says, "I have accomplished all this from nothing. I thought I was past that."
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad feeling. You can imagine.
Yeah.
But when they accuse you straight out, not because, you know, you look like the person, you're the same height, same weight, same look. Nope. Just because you're guilty before I even, and you have to prove yourself innocent. So even if Trayvon was wrong, and he may have been wrong in all that he did. He is a poster child for every black man that has been followed. And then they still will not produce a picture of him as his actual age. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. We've got a guest that's coming on. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM, AM 600. Private caller, hold on. I'll be right there with you, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Federal agents have executed a search warrant at a Boardman paint agency. It's unclear why. The probable cause is under a federal seal. It happened at the Allied Pain Treatment Center on Wyndham Court. Agents loaded boxes of evidence in a truck, and reports say it looks like some employees at the pain center were interviewed. No arrests have been made. Demolition of the former Paramount Theater in downtown Youngstown has started. The project will take about 90 days to finish. Traffic is being detoured away from Hazel Street between West Federal and Commerce Street. And another big project is underway in Youngstown. The $20 million expansion of Valley Care Hospital started on the north side. The project includes a new 30,000 square foot emergency room and a new hospital entrance. And when it's all finished, there will be 21 new private exam and trauma rooms. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The excitement of the new Chevrolet is back. 600WSOM.com wants to put you in the virtual driver's seat of today's most advanced vehicles and to give you a chance to win the Auto Law Jackpot. Just go to our website and enter the virtual auto showcase. There's a door to click for each of the Chevy All-Star dealerships. Check out each dealership right online. Sales hours, service hours, even a map to their front door. And once you're in, you could be just one click away from winning the Auto Law Jackpot. Your choice of $100,000 worth of vehicles. Let's see. How about five $20,000 cars? or maybe three $33,000 SUVs? Or how about a pair of $50,000 luxury sedans? Wow! Mix and match up to $100,000.
Thank you so much!
We told you the excitement of the new Chevrolet is back at 600WSOM.com.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I've got a guest. Her name is Susan McLaughlin. And she is from Liberty Township Tea Parties, and she is one of the Tea Parties, a part of the class action suit in against the IRS. Hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm great, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Tracy and Friends. It's good to have you.
Well, and it's good to be talking to somebody from Youngstown. I appreciate
you. Where are you in Ohio?
We are down here in Butler County. We're north of Cincinnati.
Okay.
So the corn is high. There's going to be lots of sweet corn this year. We've had lots of rain.
Are we going to have? It's going to be nice and sweet and firm and with a lot of milk.
Oh yeah. Oh, good this year. Last year it was so dry. So we're farm country here in Butler County.
I need some good corn so I can make fried corn and put it in the freezer.
Oh,
so I can have it this winter.
That sounds good. That sounds like more fun than this IRS stuff, doesn't it?
How in the world did you guys get caught up in this out of Ohio? Tell me a little bit about your tea party.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit of how you guys got caught up in this.
We wanted to do the right thing. We wanted to set up a tea party that paralleled League of Women Voters, where we could sit down and have some good, honest conversation about Obamacare. That was really what started it. You know, people were afraid of socialized medicine. They had friends in Canada or friends somewhere else in the world and horror stories about waiting months and months for medical treatment. And we wanted some kind of forum to talk about that. So the Tea Party was the forum for discussion. We thought it was really important to have liability insurance and a checking account. Makes sense. It's just like you do with PTA, right?
Right. That's usually how it happens, and they have all these rules and regulations for you to have to do that, so yeah.
Yeah, so we started filling out the forms and doing the kind of things we needed to do. We operate much differently than most tea parties. We have a senatorial board with 5 members. And the 5 of us all came from professional backgrounds. You know, I was a school teacher and a school board member. Somebody else was a school board member. Some of them were military officers. Our treasurer was a CPA. So there was a firm knowledge in how you would run something, whether you were running a YMCA board or a tea party board, and you just put a structure around it so that your members are comfortable that everything is running smoothly. And in that process, we decided to be a 501c3 because we structured like the League of Women Voters, who are a 501c3. So we applied, we filled out all the forms, we did our strategic planning, we did our bylaws, and we asked the IRS for a 501c3 designation. And it's 3 years later, and we've not heard yes or no from them. Amazing.
Did they actually call back and tell you didn't have enough information? Did they hassle your lawyers or your accountant? Or have you just not heard from them at all?
We have heard from them twice. The first time we got 95 questions about our application. And the questions that were, is anybody in your family going to run for public office? Has, in family they left that vague thing. Has anybody in your family served on another board? Well, that's kind of vague, too. I mean, my husband was on the Y board, but is there any sense? Did they really need to know that to rule on our application? All of us kind of thought these questions were intrusive, to say the least. And then I think the famous question in our questionnaire was question number 26, when they ask us about an individual citizen and what our relationship was with that individual citizen. And, of course, we had no relationship. We couldn't even spell his name right. We didn't know him. And yet he was there on this questionnaire that they sent us. We did find later that he had been on our website. His name had been on our website as a speaker in a different speakers bureau. We kind of operated as a clearinghouse where we'd put upcoming events in the area. And this gentleman was a member of the Cincinnati Tea Party, and he was speaking on something. So we had sent that information out, which made it clear.
As of today, have they actually responded to you and or answered you, told you you were not qualified, or is this process still in the works?
It is still hanging out. It is still in the works. We haven't heard yes. No. We got another set of questions this spring, which brought us up to 107 total questions we've answered, and still not a yes, not a no, just we need more information. I called our congressman's office this morning, and it's been more than 30 days since we asked them to intervene and try to find something out, you know, where the application was in the process, and they had called the congressional office, and our congressman is John Boehner, and they had called his office and asked for more time. But they didn't have an answer to give him yet.
Wow.
I know. You know, Tracy, the scary thing is, what if this was you or I? These people are going to run our health care. What if we really needed something? What if my knee needed replacement, 3 years?
Well, actually, the bureaucracy I think it's a bad idea, period. It's a bad, bad, bad idea, and I think America really needs to take a second look at what they are proposing and what they're allowing them to do. Because I don't think you should tie your health to your money.
I don't either.
It just doesn't make sense. That's a bad idea, and especially when then you have another entity like the government actually controlling it. Not your health. Your health is so important.
Yeah, not your health. And certainly the irony is that this is what started the Tea Party movement, was the fear of government involved in our medical care. And I think that Tea Party philosophy, that problems should be solved at the lowest possible level. If it's your child, he's your problem. You know what I mean? Just that local involvement at the county level or at the state level should happen before a federal government ever gets involved. It seems like we've turned it all upside down. from my way of thinking.
Well,
by
allowing the government to get involved in it, what it does, it takes away personal charitable inclinations.
No.
Yes.
How?
I worked with a lot of guys that says I don't need to give to the church or I don't need to give money away because they take my money out in taxes and the government takes care of it.
Taxes is one thing. Health care is another.
But it's a tax.
But it's not a tax.
It is a tax.
They made it a tax. They created a tax on your health care, but it's not a tax, even though they tied it to the taxation of your income, which that's another issue. But the IRS going after groups and not allowing them to have the status that they need to conduct business as a nonprofit and bullying, and it's not, and they've done this more than just for the Tea Party. We need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of your organization? What would cause them to? Because you're down there, not too far from Cincinnati. What would cause them? What would cause your name to be a red flag for them?
Well, I think first the word liberty. We are Liberty Township, so I think one of the key words in their search was liberty. And then we had Tea Party, so it was Liberty Township Tea Party. So we had the right keyword for them to purchase. That's scary, isn't it?
You had two no-nos. You had no idea, did you?
No, we didn't. We just wanted the right thing. No, we had no clue. And the frustrating thing is they can't say yes or no or we're going to deny you this, and this is why, and here's the appeal process. We haven't even gotten that kind of information. They just keep us hanging out.
And now since this whole thing has come out, you still have yet to hear from them?
We still have yet to hear from them. And we have sent them letters requesting answers. And don't reply to the letter.
What is your lawyer telling you as your course for your recourse of this? What's he telling you guys to do?
Right. We have joined with Jay Sekulow's group, the American Center for Law and Justice, in filing a complaint against the IRS.
So
nothing so far, but the court system is a long, slow process. So we've gone to the courts through the American Center for Law and Justice. We've filed a lawsuit, and we've gone to the legislative branch. We've sat down with Congressman Boehner's staff. They're aware of the problem. And it's interesting that the IRS came back to Boehner's staff and said, we need more time to sort this out.
Wow. And so you have not been able to conduct any business, have you?
We have, because we're a corporation under the state of Ohio.
Okay. But as far as getting out of tax,
we have a checking account. We have liability insurance. So we've been able to function and have meetings, and it hasn't shut us down. It's just frustrated us. Just irritating. I mean, you feel like you're being picked on. And I know this is not the first time the IRS has been used for political purposes.
I read the article of impeachment on Nixon here right after this story broke.
There you go. We don't learn anything as a nation, do we?
Well, we need to repeal the income tax.
Well, that would be great. That's not going to happen. I mean, I'm a realist. I would love to see us repeal the income tax, shut down the IRS, and let everybody pay out their own pocket. But let's understand this: you've got 430 plus people depending on your money to spend, and if you
that's
think
it.
All of them, if you want to know if the Republicans and Democrats agree on one thing is they're not going to allow you
right
just to pay. Not going to happen.
Do you realize that up until World War II, there was no automatic withholding from your check?
It could be. Listen,
and I guarantee you, if there wasn't automatic withholding anymore, people would be going insane about the taxes that they're paying.
That may be true, but they're not going to let that happen. Do you realize when you go get a job now, if you don't have a checking account, they don't want to hire you because they want to do direct deposit,
right?
So they have direct withholdings. Mm-hmm. They don't allow you to pay on your own insurance. Do you really think those people down there in Washington really care about your inconvenience and the $1 billion that you spend? We should have done tax reform years ago. We should never be here. 72,000 pages of tax code is just ludicrous. Would you say so, Susan?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. The sad thing is the media, and no one is talking about a flat tax, not a fair tax. I don't want to go to that value-added system they have in Europe. Just a flat tax, just a flat 10%. Everybody pays, everybody, even including General Electric, and no deductions. No.
But as a business owner, Susan, how does that work with a guy who's got business expenses?
Too bad.
Because if you don't have an over 10%, if you don't have an over 10% profit margin, you're out of business.
No, it's remember, you can do it on your net, on your net, not your growth.
But then you have deductions.
Well, you can have deductions.
No, she said flat tax, straight 10%.
But flat tax, we're talking about personal tax, you know, income tax.
Personal income tax.
We're not talking about business tax. That would have to be something different.
Yeah.
But as Romney said, the loopholes need to be covered because there are too many loopholes that make corporations not have to pay, like General Electric, like she said.
But one man's loophole is another man's legitimate business expense. That's the problem with that.
No, there's ways. You can fix that problem if you chose to. They choose not to. Remember, you have...
Well, General Electric is not paying taxes because they're an FOB, a friend of Barack.
No, that's not true. They haven't been paying it for years.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh on that one.
You can laugh at that. That's not true.
They're not paying taxes because of the subsidies from all of the green stuff.
Listen, that's not true. They're not paying taxes. They haven't paid taxes in years. They didn't pay taxes under Bush. Do you have to understand there are loopholes in the laws in the 72,000 pages of the tax code?
You are right, Tracy. You are right. They did not pay taxes under Bush either. You are...
They haven't been paying taxes in years. We've got corporations that almost get a refund.
Yep. You are. You hit the nail on the head on that one. And it's all of those lobbyists.
This is not all about Barack Obama and his administration, whether you agree with him or not. I give the devil his due. I don't like all of his policies. But I can't blame this one on him. Now, maybe the targeting of Tea Party, maybe so. But outside of that, the tax code was flawed a long time ago. Romney said he paid more because he felt guilty. Come on. Because he didn't take all the deductions.
You know, it just is real frustrating that conversation about flat tax is not out there. And it needs to be.
And every time they have it goes away.
Yep.
Well, the thing is, because
of lobbyists and money. We know why it disappears. Those corporations that don't pay taxes, pay lobbyists to keep them from paying taxes. It's like a whole inbred system. Sorry for the word, but, you know, it really is.
I agree with you. I just don't know how a flat tax can operate for a business.
But you keep on looking at this we're talking about just people, not businesses. You got to separate the two. They are
but small businesses aren't separate. They are.
If you change the tax code, then my LLC mm-hmm. will not incorporate my business with my person. So to do business, I may need to be a corporation and have to file as one, no matter if I'm a sole proprietor or if I'm a major corporation and I have to file under a different tax, you know, ID. My business is separate from. So we will not call businesses people too. Understand?
I just don't see how that can possibly work. Because you can't separate the two for a small business.
Yes, you can. Your partnership, your sole proprietorship, you have to pay yourself an income, whether you like it or not. You may not like paying your...
But what if there's nothing left?
Then you don't get paid. But you have to separate your business from your personal. We should never have commingled them or included them the same at any time anyhow.
My S-Corp is separate from me.
But then your S-Corp, you're going to pay taxes and you have to pay yourself a salary. But you just can't take money out the till. It cannot commingle. You cannot commingle your business funds, and that which you take as salary, you have to pay taxes on.
Tracy, that's exactly why we set the Tea Party up the way we did, because you couldn't commingle funds. You had to have
Correct.
It separate, had to have good accounting practices. But we have to continue to have this discussion about a flat tax, and I'm glad to hear it going on. We won't solve it today, you and I, but
it has Susan, to happen. Why are you against the fair tax? I'm curious. If we repeal the income tax first.
If we repeal the consumption tax, it won't work just given the population continually changing demographics. You know, as you get older, you spend less. And I think it will drive part of that economy underground. Garage sales are a good example of economy driven underground. If you start a consumption tax at 17 or 18%, like they have in Europe, I bet you see a lot more garage sales and a lot more trading and a lot more bartering. People will figure a way out of taxes. So I'm thinking a flat income tax is a better alternative than the consumption tax because people will work around consumption taxes.
They work around the income tax, though. I know an awful lot of people that
we're saying take out those deductions like that.
No. I mean, I know people, and you know them too, that
work under the grid. But
what
I'm
cash
saying,
only.
But right now you're almost in a position you really can't do a real cash only business because you have to take credit cards and you have to use banking systems.
Yep.
There's ways to fix the cat. The question is, do you want to fix the cat? You can't walk around saying I don't work unless you give me cash. I don't take checks either.
I know a lot of people that do.
But not enough. You can't deposit. And if you have no checking account, if you have no bank trail, you can't buy anything. You get no car. You get no house.
You pay cash.
You can't.
Yes, you can.
No. Because you can, as I said, you can make it to where you have to provide substantial evidence of how you paid for your home. You just can't go and say, here's $10,000 cash. Just like you can no longer buy a car for $10,000 and then not report you to the federal government. You can no longer deposit $10,000 cash into your checking account and then not report it to the federal government.
And you think that's a good thing?
I didn't say I liked it, but what I'm saying is you should not be able to. There are ways around what we're talking about, but there's a better way than what we have. Because right now it's a multi-billion-dollar industry just in filing your taxes.
Oh, absolutely.
How much have you spent trying to get your 501c3, Susan, for your organization?
You know, it's hard, because we're all volunteers. I mean, this is like truly like a PTA organization. We have very educated, intelligent people that are volunteering their time. So how you
did they put a cash value? Did they put a cash value to it? So if you have lawyers and accountants that are part of your organization, even though they did the work, there still is a cash value.
There is a cash value. I do not have that figure. I do not know what the lawyers came up with for a cash value.
Because I haven't seen it. I have a nonprofit status without a lawyer and or accountant.
Right.
That's highly impossible.
What the lawsuit is asking for in terms of damages, how they've quantified it, I don't have it. I'm sure they have it. They've decided. I haven't seen it. I've seen a copy of the suit, and it's a good question. I'll follow up and ask.
Because the monies that have been expended, even if it's in time and energy, if it's been in kind, has usually going to be an exorbitant number, especially if you've been at it for 3 years. So if you multiply that by their hourly rate, even if they volunteered that hourly rate, you're going to come up with an exorbitant number of wasted man hours because the IRS did not comply and or meet any requirements for you for your filing for your status.
You're exactly right. I don't know what that exorbitant number is. It's amazing. You know, I keep going back to, all right, and these people are going to run my health care, and these people are going to deal with us every day, you know.
It should have never been.
And it can happen to me. It can happen to every one of us. It just, in my mind, being an ex-teacher, I always take it back to, you know, when they came for the Jews, I wasn't Jewish and I didn't worry about it. But then they came for somebody else, and then they came for somebody else. And, you know, it just, if it can happen to a small organization like ours, it can happen,
to anybody.
And it may, and we just don't know about it. The ladies' book club in Toledo that they were coming after was absolutely amazing. Those women read books, you know, the Federalist Papers and Hayek, and you know, the IRS wanted book reports about these books, and the ladies were so wonderful. They boxed up the books and they said, "Here, read them yourself."
Wow.
That was their reply to the IRS.
Wow. Susan, thank you for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate talking about
it. If you have our number, if you want to call in one day and tell us what's going on and give us an update, please do so.
I will. I will call in when we hear, at least when the congressman's office hears back. I have checked all morning that the Speaker of the House's office doesn't get a reply in a reasonable time either, or whatever a reasonable time is. They thought they'd have a reply back, at least a reply meaning where we're at in the process, in 30 days. But it's been much longer than that because it was May when we contacted his office. And we're waiting.
Well, listen, I appreciate you and thank you so much. And we're here for you if you need us.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. You have a great day. And I hope
God
you get some
of
Southern Ohio corn. Yeah, God
bless you. I will
do
that. God bless you. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Being 96 ayes and 49 nays, House Bill 2 is finally passed.
The Texas House has okayed a bill which sets some of the nation's tightest restrictions on abortions, requiring doctors who perform them to have admitting rights to nearby hospitals, only allowing the procedure in surgical centers and banning them outright after 20 weeks. The Senate could vote on it later this week. This is ABC News.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-789-3202. That's 1-800-789-3202. 1-800-789-3202.
Amanda Knox is going on trial again for murder, but we probably won't see her in court. ABC's Megan Williams has a story from Rome.
American student Amanda Knox's legal ordeal will resume in just a couple of months. An Italian court has set September 30th as the first day of court for the third trial of Knox and her former Italian boyfriend, Raffaele Sollecito. The two were found guilty of killing British student Meredith Kircher in Perugia, Italy, and sentenced to 26 and 25 years in prison. That verdict was reversed in 2011. It's unlikely Knox will return to Italy for the trial and risk another prison sentence. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
Mayor Robert Tuff says he wants to run for a second term in the tiny town of Dorset, Minnesota. You could say he is a political newcomer. Bobby was 3 when he won the ceremonial election last year in the town of about 20 people. His only major act so far, to put ice cream at the top of the food pyramid. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
You were told to install illegal software on company computers. Does this really hurt anyone?
This is not a victimless crime. I understand. The economy is tough. Things are hard all over. But I've worked with program developers before. I have seen what it takes to produce great software. They need the financial support of the people who are using those products.
If your company copies software illegally, report it confidentially to BSA, the Software Alliance, and you may be eligible for a cash reward. Go online and input nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
This is Dr. Cheryl Figliano for the Centers for Hearing Care. If you have a loved one that seems to have trouble hearing, is depressed, or disconnected with the world around them, please do them a favor. Call one of our local offices for an appointment today. Each of our 7 offices has a doctor of audiology and the best equipment available to help with any hearing problem. Visit www.centersforhearingcare.com or call 888-866-HEAR.
26th anniversary sale going on right now, Marianne. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. And in honor of that, we'll give you 26% off on all our great American-made WeatherTight windows, siding, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet facing, and gutter covers. And check out more specials. Check our webpage, myweathertight.com and weathertightwindows.com, or take a short little drive between Youngstown and Warren. We're in Liberty Township, 1596 Motor Inn Drive. We're open from 7 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. We'll keep the window open for you, too. Senior military discounts. Check us out with a BBB. Don't forget our window standalone with quality service and value. We are the real deal. Here's the number for the free estimate. 1-800-821-8483. That's 1-800-821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Mervin, the WeatherTight guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Hi, this is Dick Morris. Obamacare is taking full effect this year, with over 15,000 pages of regulations. You need to know how this law affects you. That's why you should get your copy of Obamacare Survival Guide. It's easy to read and the best guide to the new law. Even if you're currently insured or a senior on Medicare or a business owner, a medical profession, or really any citizen, you need the Obamacare Survival Guide. In it, you'll find about hidden taxes, fees, and fines, including a 40% tax on some health plans. I warned you about Obamacare, its rationing, Medicare cuts, and will trigger doctor shortages. Now the Obamacare Survival Guide gives you the simple steps to protect your family. So get the Obamacare Survival Guide at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Or get our special $4.95 offer and save $15 today by going to Obamacare911.com. Obamacare911.com. That's Obamacare911.com.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600, WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Six and I are having a conversation between consumption tax and state tax here during the break. I guess we do like South Carolina and them do when we're taking a break. South, is that you?
Is my mic on?
Yeah, Mike, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
No, it's not South, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. I think South is actually fishing today.
Oh, what kind of mess is that?
It's
we got to stop that.
At a lot younger age than I am, figured out that you should enjoy life first. Work, there's always plenty of time to work.
Oh.
There's nobody on their deathbed that wishes they worked more. Trust me.
There's some.
Hey, can I make a comment?
Sure.
About Susan?
Sure.
I share her concern about the IRS or the government running anything. And let me just read you an email from 4 years ago that when I sent out, I lost all my liberal friends. I actually got hate mail over this one. I had the same concern about the government running our health care. And the reason for it was it had been announced publicly on the news. The IRS had taken over the Mustang Ranch, the famous brothel in Nevada,
yeah.
because of tax liens. And they tried to run it for 2 years, and they were announcing they were closing it. They ran the brothel into the ground, the IRS running it. And my comment to my friend was, we think they're going to run health, the government's going to run health care when they can't even run a business that sells sex and alcohol to young, drunken, horny men with cash.
You know,
I thought that was, you know, I mean, come on, it's a joke, you know? And you would not believe the hate mail I got.
Did they really try to run a brothel?
Yeah, they did.
That really happened.
Record. They took over the Mustang Ranch, the very famous brothel there in Nevada.
Why did they try to run it? Why didn't they do like they do everything else and like sell it? I don't understand.
Well, they have the IRS tries to collect the tax money owed, and they put liens against things, and they take things over. And because it was a business, they thought they could run it for whatever in their wisdom, and they ran it into the ground. And I don't get it. It was so, you know, I just found humor in it and walked away from it because it's nothing I have any control over. I just now know that I will not own a brothel in Nevada that falls behind on its taxes ever. And in that statement, you can read whatever you want into that, Miss Tracy. So, and to Styx, my fellow fair tax, flat tax person, believer like I am, let me arm him with the comeback when people start talking about
tax. Are you a fair tax or are you a flat tax?
I'm either anything to get rid of the system we have now. Okay, I'm even all for a national sales tax. I don't care what they do as long as they get rid of all write-offs. But part of all the plans that I've seen, from Milton Friedman to Herman Cain to all of those people, the people writing books about it and everything else, the one thing is the tax is only applied on the purchase of a new product or service. So when you go to sell your used car, it's not taxed again. When you go to a tag sale, therefore, I would assume all that merchandise obviously was once new. You're tag sale. You're not tag selling new merchandise. That would not be taxable, so that takes care of Susan's concern. And it actually would be the most fair taxing system because then people with even illegal drug money, when they go buy all those big fancy cars and everything else, they'd be paying tax at least to pay for the law enforcement.
That was always Trafficant's statement that you're getting 12.5% or 15% of the entire underground economy.
But see, I'm looking for a system that is going to meet the needs of the American people and also be fair for people. And a flat tax, separating businesses out. Businesses need a little bit more thought. But your income tax that you are working for every day, working for an employer, not being self-employed, should have a flat tax because people are getting, you know, one, they're using it as savings accounts. I don't like earned income credit.
Uh-huh. No.
I have a problem with that. I have a problem with people getting back more than they put in.
Right.
And we have not addressed that as a society yet, as we should. You know, I have a problem with, you know, some of the things, the write-offs that married people get that single people don't get. All that kind of stuff weighs in.
Yeah.
Where everyone who has a employee has a flat tax, bottom line.
You would almost make unemployment disappear in this country, though, if you went to a national sales tax where the only thing that is taxed is when it's sold. Because then corporations could then put stuff on the docks that they could export around the world and be highly competitive because they wouldn't have paid tax on all of it, which they have to include in the price before they shipped it to other countries. The American worker is the most productive worker in the world.
Well, what I don't understand about the pro-income tax crowd is they're normally the same crowd that says we put a higher tax on cigarettes so people won't smoke. Well, if you put a high tax on labor, people won't work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, you're right. And I agree with that. But you have to get – there's a reason why when you have both Republicans and Democrats in power, no matter who's there, mm-hmm. no one touches it. The question yeah. is not
– Well, because it's because the IRS is an amazingly powerful organization, and whoever wields that power has amazing control over the American people.
Hear me what I'm saying. There's a reason why no matter who's in power, no one touches it.
Right.
They write the laws for the tax code. If you have 72,000 pages of tax code, somebody keeps on putting glue and sand into the sandbox, but no one pays attention to the sand that they put in. The question is, why has no one ever tackled tax reform? I mean, we're talking about the whole yeah. Congress, the whole Senate, and the whole administration. Why have they not tackled tax reform? We know that it's broken. They actually campaign on tax reform.
Because the IRS is the one way they can beat everybody over the head. It's their main power. There would be virtually no lobbyists in D.C. if there was no income tax.
I didn't say take away income tax. I said tax reform. Romney talked about tax reform. And McCain talked about tax reform. Herman Cain talked about tax reform. We all talk about tax reform. The question is, over the last 50 years, how many presidential nominees have mentioned tax reform?
Because they get paid to keep the tax code screwed up.
No. I don't believe.
They do.
No, they don't.
Because
they don't.
Every lobbyist is up there trying to get their little tidbit in the tax code.
I don't believe that.
I do.
I don't. I don't believe that out of 435 members of Congress right now, they're all getting bought off by lobbyists.
They're not getting bought off directly, but campaign contributions. You know, you can't even throw your hat in the ring locally to say you're going to run for Congress unless you can show the local Democratic National Committee or the local Republican Committee that you have at least $250,000 to start even.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. I work too close to this, and I'm telling you, Bill Johnson.
Yeah.
He's the sixth congressional congressional representative here in the Ohio area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe the lobbyists bought him off because I know I watched him raise his money.
But is he a power broker?
That's not what I'm asking.
Have to control. You told me this.
You
don't have to control all of them. You just got to control the power brokers.
But my question is, look at what they put up for tax reform bills.
Ted Cruz right now is trying to get a bill through to abolish the IRS.
See, that's gone too far. That's a dumb bill. We're not talking about stupid bills. That's stupid. You can't abolish them. They're not going to vote for that. The question is, I said tax reform. I'm talking about a tax reform plan that will be beneficial to all of America. When's the last time you saw one?
Okay. Do you think the average American is going to give up their mortgage interest deduction?
Probably not.
Do you think the average corporation is going to give up the average company, the average small businessman is going to give up his depreciation schedule?
No. But listen, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about – you're talking about lobbyists, and right now we know that lobbyists depends on what side of the fence you're on. What I'm saying is, who was the last one that put it in? Hey, Larry, how you doing? Answer the question.
How you doing, Tracy?
Good. How are you?
What? Good. I like the – you're asking me a question, or can I comment?
Go ahead and make a comment.
My comment would be and you see it every time somebody has a good idea – like Cain when he was running 999, and that's what propelled him. Not that he was African American or he was a business leader. Until the public rallies around it, and what did they do? They destroyed him for something that it was like a Clarence Thomas type of destroying they gave him because it makes sense to people. But again, it goes back to our message. Our message is good. We need to rebrand it. We need to tell people why it is good to go to a VAT tax, for instance, versus something crazy like the state of Ohio did years ago with the CAT, the commercial activity tax. You want more commercial activity. So what do? We tax it. That's stupid. But until we can break it down, talk to me like I'm a first grader type of thing, because That's what you need to do, is tell people why a consumption tax, like a VAT, eliminate all the income tax. And what you'll see, Tracy, is, like I think it was Fix said, you'll unleash businesses because now they know, okay, this is my tax rate. But right now, I mean, you look at the, and it's breaking that democratic paradigm. They think that because, you know, we got a third, I think it's 35% corporate tax rate, that that means we're going to get more money. Actually, if you look at it, ever since they've raised the corporate tax rate, the federal dollars from that have decreased.
Yeah.
It's true. So if you would eliminate that, and then, yeah, there's going to be some hard choices as far as mortgage deduction rates and different stuff like that. But if you sell it right, hey, this is what we're going to do, it will be revenue neutral, and this is why it's going to be good for you and that rich guy.
So tell me this. Why is it that no one is talking about tax reform?
You can't
get go back
support.
To
you can't get the support.
Support. Who supports
you can't
get more taxes?
Support from the other people in Congress because of the lobbyists. Dix is right. And all congressmen, whether they do it directly or indirectly, are under the influence of the lobbyists because they need each other's cooperation. Every one of those lobbyists represents an interest that's located in one of the 48 or 50 states, and you got to scratch my back so I'll scratch yours. I could go in and propose the world's greatest piece of legislation, and unless I give on some other points to other people who are being influenced by lobbyists because it's what's good for their constituents in their state, unless I yield to that demand, I don't get what I want. And that's the
okay, Mike. Everybody says that they want tax reform because everybody's paying taxes. So
right.
You mean to tell me that, okay, they said Sticks, you're right. The businesses that have lobbyists tied to this. Why
yeah.
would a lobbyist not want to pay not want tax reform?
Because the way it is now under the current code, if he gets what he wants for his client has an advantage in the marketplace under the current tax code. If you
in
level
what way?
The playing field, just it depends what the legislation is. But that's what lobbyists are all about. They want regulations that
No. I'm asking for particulars on taxes. I'm talking about just American income tax, the federal income tax. I'm not even going to go to business tax right now. Just on everyday what you pay, how you pay it.
Income. Well, then you've got the obvious lobbyist, everybody who puts the letter CPA after their name. H&R,
No. Mike,
code.
I said separate business out.
No, you can't separate them out.
Yes, you can.
They
why
are
not?
Affected by you getting a break as an individual. If they simplify the tax code on your personal income tax, you got a whole bunch of people that, like Dick said, make billions of dollars a year on that industry servicing your tax filing needs.
So we have CPAs.
They are businesses
yeah, Joel,
that get affected.
So the CPAs are more important.
Joel Hyatt ain't going to be happy with you at all.
So the CPAs are more important to the congressional body than the people that actually vote them in.
Yeah, because you know why? The average person doesn't stick their hand in their pocket and pull a $100 bill out to support a candidate. The average person doesn't do that. And so most of their campaign financing for most of the 435 comes from businesses or people who have an interest in making sure a business or a business model or a business industry stays healthy in their district.
Tracy, am I still hot?
Yeah. Yes, it's still hot.
I think and you said it, mentioned it earlier, why does it stay the same no matter who's in control? And it all goes
yeah.
back to the power. It goes back to the power, Tracy, because if the government or somebody in power wants to get somebody in trouble, you can do it by the tax code. There's no way you could hire a team of lawyers, a whole firm if you wanted, and if they wanted to find something on you, they could find it in the tax code because nobody understands it. It's so big. It's sort of like Obamacare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it's a form of control. If you made it simple, like most people, us, I'm talking about us, but until we realize we do have that power, and then you say something like Bill Johnson, who I think is a great congressman, but even he can't do it by himself. You need a fleet of Bill Johnson, and we did have that for a while there in 2010 election, but you see they were stymied in the Senate because they didn't have enough new blood in the Senate.
Yeah,
you're starting to see some of it. I like Senator Cruz myself from Texas. I really like that guy.
You know, Larry, you bring out a really good point because on the news, and again, the bias in the media is they call them the do-nothing Congress, and the truth is our Congress just in a lot that never got to the floor of the Senate even for a vote because Harry Reid, one man, elected in a state of 4 million people, controls the destiny of the world on some of that legislation because he keeps it in his pocket and he will not bring it to the floor for a vote.
But now hold on, wait a minute. Whoa. Harry Reid is still voted on by that's gone. Harry Reid is voted on by the majority of the Senate, and that's how he is actually president of the Senate.
But
so,
he's voted on by the power by the party that holds the most number of seats in the Senate.
That's what I'm saying, but
yes.
They still all vote on it. That's what I'm saying. They still
yes.
all vote on it because we saw trafficking. Hold on, we saw trafficking cross the line.
Yes, I understand that.
And next thing we knew, trafficking went down.
But he gets
yeah, but
a veto power that's
bill.
Beyond
yeah.
his calling.
Pardon me? What'd you
he
say, Mike?
A veto power that's beyond his calling, Tracy. He can walk around with a piece of legislation in his pocket and refuse to even put it up for a vote. He blocks the process. He's the bottleneck.
But that's the rules of the Senate. That's the rules of the Senate.
I understand.
And we understand that.
Understand.
But my question is, we have the Senate and the House. They have equal powers. Why do they not deal with it one-on-one? You don't hear – right now, we're talking about George Zimmerman, but you don't hear talking about the IRS, yet we know the IRS is a problem.
Yes.
And if there's any time to deal with the IRS, it would be now.
Yes.
Because we know that they have reached too far, they have too much power, and they have abused it.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're cutting the budget by, what, $20 million, did you say, Six?
24%.
24%? Mm-hmm. But 24% of what? So they can't have that.
About $3 billion are cutting the IRS budget.
So they're cutting it by $3 billion? But what else are they cutting when the same woman who was over what happened in the IRS is now over health care? So we really
yes.
didn't cut anything.
Yeah, with a $750,000 bonus for doing a good job, or that was what they paid her for the last 3 years. I forget, but she got a bonus with a promotion.
And then they also said that this woman that they put over health care, she was over this.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be over this. They have not reprimanded her as they should.
Right.
Yet, we haven't heard any more about.
Does Congress have the authority to remove her?
I don't believe so. I don't think so, because she's an employee. Larry, correct me if I'm wrong. She's an employee. She wasn't confirmed
yes.
by the Senate.
No, and she
yes,
is an employee.
She's an employee.
But Congress
hold on,
the IRS. We're holding up your budget approval for the year.
But the woman
deal with this person.
But the woman just got off the phone with us, Susan from the Liberty Township Patriots or Tea Party, said that. Her congressman, Senator Congressman Boehner, put a call into the IRS. He's Speaker of the House, and he can't get a return phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, are we listening to what we're saying here? Hey, Bonnie, how are you, honey? 831, your mic is on. I guess they're not talking. Okay, go ahead, Mike and Larry.
I agree with Larry on a lot of his points. But I think it's a porcupine. The problem is who sticks the first hand out to grab it and where you grab it without getting stuck and then everybody else runs away because they saw you got stuck. Also, you're assuming that all those 435 people and the 100 in the Senate are all squeaky clean with their taxes
But I'm talking about all of them. I mean, like I said, you know, Jim Trafficking crossed the line. And I think I knew he was going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, I told you that story, didn't I?
No.
About sitting in a break room here in Youngstown when I worked at one of the factories there. One of the guys I was working with, this was early 90s, said, I got a cousin that's a page or something up there. He says, Trafficking gets up and starts running his mouth. And they all look around. Can't we shut him up? We're going to shut him up. It took them a few years. They shut him up.
Yeah.
But the other problem, Tracy, it goes back to our ignorance to the fact because I mean I was running on Facebook with a running debate last night on a guy that honestly believe that Republicans have been instructionists, and they're the ones that are responsible for the two power plants that just got shut down in PA.
The coal plant?
You know, and all, they just shut down 200 or two big power plants, 350 jobs, coal-fired plants, First Energy did in Pennsylvania. And, you know, all First Energy is doing is looking at the economics of the thing. But this guy, I mean, he's ignorant to it. I mean, we will believe that it's a do-nothing Congress when I believe 37 times this Congress has voted to repeal Obamacare or defund it, and it dies in the Senate. You know, Harry Reid, you know, he's the majority leader. I think Biden is actually the president of the Senate, but he's the majority leader. He controls what actually gets voted on. But all you've been hearing about is how John Boehner and the Congress are dragging their feet and not doing anything on immigration reform. Well, why don't we hear it the other way around, where the Senate, you know, up until this year, hadn't passed a budget? Ever since Harry Reid's been the Senate Majority Leader, they hadn't passed a budget. You know, but, you know, that stuff you never hear about. All you keep hearing, and, you know, like I said, the Democrats, they got MSNBC as the Democratic National Committee's propaganda arm, because they spout this stuff. A lot of people believe it without educating and understand, well, hey, that don't seem right, or why are you getting on Boehner in the group right now in Congress when Senate's been doing this for years?
So my question is, again, why is it that we have over the last I've been voting for what, 30 some years now. Why is it that we have yet to see all this conversation during the process, but you don't see any putting at the end? Tell me why we have not seen anyone put anything together for tax reform. And even now, with us jumping up and down about the IRS and how far they have reached, why is it that we have not done anything about it? That's my question. Listen, I got another guest coming on. His name is Dr. Prepper, P-R-E-P-P-E-R, Dr. Prepper. And his name is James Talmadge Stevens, and he's written a book called Dr. Prepper's Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook. And so I'm going to take a break, and when I come right back, he'll be with us. I see that he's called in. Dr. Prepper, please hold on. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology. All the engine protection you will ever need in a 50% recycled oil that is designed specifically for today's hotter running engines. Finally, performance meets environment. Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news.
Federal agents have executed a search warrant at a Boardman paint agency. It's unclear why. The probable cause is under a federal seal. It happened at the Allied Pain Treatment Center on Wyndham Court. Agents loaded boxes of evidence in a truck, and reports say it looks like some employees at the pain center were interviewed. No arrests have been made. Demolition of the former Paramount Theater in downtown Youngstown has started. The project will take about 90 days to finish. Traffic is being detoured away from Hazel Street between West Federal and Commerce Streets. And another big project is underway in Youngstown. The $20 million expansion of Valley Care Hospital started on the north side. The project includes a new $30,000 square foot emergency room and a new hospital entrance. And when it's all finished, there will be 21 new private exam and trauma rooms. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. You're listening to Tracy and I. Tracy and I. Oh, you like that one, Tracy and Sticks. Sticks and I. Sticks and me. Let me get that right, whatever. It's what?
Proper English is it, and I.
And I. Sticks and I. No, but you're listening. Tracy and I. Tracy and I is not right. No. I'm Tracy. You're not I. That would be wrong.
That'd be Tracy and Sticks.
Tracy and Sticks. You're listening to Tracy and Sticks here on WSOM AM 600. It is 37 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and the number here is 347-945-5229. We have a gentleman by the name of James Talmadge Stevens, and he is the author of Dr. Prepper's Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook. Hi, Dr. Prepper. How are you?
It's a delight to be on with you. It's nice to talk to real people who have real problems.
That's just the beginning of my problems. You haven't seen anything yet. Give me a minute.
Well, then we'll be okay. Hey, listen, you're an iHeart station. That's cool. I live in San Antonio, home office of the flagship
of iHeart
station.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They have a partner. Our stations have partnerships with each other, and I have the opportunity to be on iHeart. What'd you say?
I said, eat, live, and breathe this iHeart stuff.
That's good. That's good. So now you know where to find us.
I don't go anywhere without listening to the iHeart AM because it's great talk. Great talk show.
Well, now you can find us on iHeart. That's WSOM 600. And we're here every day from noon until 3. And you're always welcome to come and hang out with us and call in because we have no strangers that call in.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, it's great to be able to talk to you folks. My wife is from Columbus, so I feel like I'm going home.
You are. So how in the world did you get her to go from Columbus to Texas?
Well, charm. Just my mama said you got to be charming, Billy. I'm from North Carolina, so I just used my charm.
And it worked.
Well, for many, many, many years, we've been married, I guess, together for over 50 years. So we're okay.
Dr. Prepper, I have a question for you. This is an encyclopedia of information. How long did it take you to write this
And how in the world did you become a prepper?
You know, kind of like Johnny Cash. I was a prepper when it wasn't popular. You know, I've been. The book was written originally in 1974, so it's next March will be its 40th anniversary. So it's been developed. It's in its 13th edition right now. So it's been upgraded a whole bunch. It's grown from about 140 pages to 562 pages. And it has become the all-time best-selling book in the industry. And I guess when you get to be my age, you got to have a lot. You have to have a lot of sales to make it. It's sold over 800,000 copies.
What made you decide to take all the information and all the knowledge that you had and put it in a book?
Well, I wouldn't say I had a lot of knowledge at the time. I had a lot of need to earn some income. I just graduated with my MBA from university, but I graduated in December, you know, at the end of the term. And so it was an odd time to be looking for a job. You know, first of the year, companies have already made their changes back during the final quarter. And it was a kind of a slow economy in 1974, or 73, end of 73. There weren't a lot of jobs around. It's Christmas time. Nobody's looking to put on new hires at that time of the year. So I didn't, and besides, I'd been going to school on the government, I was regular Army, so I was going on my benefits, $156 a month with four kids under four. It was tough. And I got some extra money from teaching, but that was it. So I was, I think, about $600 a month and a free parking space up at the university. And so I was teaching and going to school, writing the syllabus for the courses I was actually teaching, things that nobody else had ever taught because it was a new adventure. That's back during the Johnson heyday of the OEO, the Office of Economic Opportunity. You probably weren't even born in those days. Doesn't sound like it from your voice. I would think that it was a whole different world. We were trying to wrap around the minorities and give them an opportunity, and I just happened to have some skills. So I'd been hired by the governor's office to introduce public housing in Utah. Interesting. And I ended up working for the governors of the surrounding Rocky Mountain states in an organization called the Federation of Rocky Mountain States. There were six of them, and the governors had federal money, and they kicked in some of the own money, and they had this organization to help the western states, which were mostly owned by the federal government. All the lands, virtually the majority of land in all those six states was owned by the federal government, and so their tax base was fairly small in many regards compared to the heavily populated eastern states. And I figured all that out and went around and talked to governors, staff, and legislatures and staff, and taught them how to get public housing. That was my job, and did it well because all the states immediately put that into practice and passed laws and got going. So that's what I'd been doing, and I'd saved a little bit of money, but I had to go to school, had to give it full time because it needed that in order to get, you know, those last few classes, you just had to go do it. I'd been struggling with it for 11 years to get, 7 years to get my master's degree, so I'm just going to have to get it done in the next couple of quarters. And I did, but I had no job, and so here in January, the coldest part of the year in Utah, up on the side of the mountain where we lived, my wife said, "Well, what are we going to eat?" Well, I didn't like the idea of the dough or going on welfare, so I said, "I don't know. I'll call my mom." And remember, this is the day before there was any FedEx or UPS. The post office was your mainline communication, if it were written. And I called my mom, collect, and she knew something was wrong when I did that. And I said, "I need some help here. Could you send me some resources to help us get through the winter here, and I'll pay you back when I get a job?" And she said, "Well, I'll talk to your dad and see what I can do." And she said, "I'll see if he'll dig up some of those cans." Now, you have to stop for a moment and realize that cans, we were raised with an incentive program. If we mowed the yard, my dad said that he'd buried some of his old Confederate money and a whole lot of new cash. Everybody knew his attitude about banks. He didn't like them. And so he said, I've got all that. I've got money hidden in cans. And if you do the yard right, you'll clip off the, you know, with those push mowers. He said, you'll clip off the top of a can, and you can have everything that's in it. That was our incentive plan. Well, that was part of it. The other incentive plan was called a switch, if you know what I mean. Or his
I'm not that young. I know what that is.
Okay. And you got to pick your own, by the way, which was really, you know, thank you, Dad. So anyway, I was expecting her to, you know, because not in my naivety, just as a matter of reference, I figured that's what. So within a couple of days, I received this box by overnight mail, which was very expensive in those days. And it was a shoe box that had been, she'd taken a Safeway sack, I think, and turned it inside out, wrapped around, put some masking tape around. That was before duct tape, too, I may say, and tied it with a string and sent it out. And so I got this, the mailman knocks on the door, hands it to me, says, here's a package. Says, sounds like cookies. I shook it, and I said, no, it sounds like paper. And I thought, yippee, my dad actually went out and dug, my mother got my dad to dig up some of that money. My dad still had his original dollar earned, by the way. I mean, he knew how to hold on to money. Raised seven kids, so I guess
wow.
He did pretty good considering. We all had shoes, and we all had the opportunity to go, you know, go to school. So I shook the box, and I said, "Oh, that's money!" I was just so tickled. I opened it up, and there were sheaves of paper, and pieces of paper, and things with grease and butter. All kinds of things, and no food, and no money. But there was one book in there called The Joy of Cooking by the Rombauer sisters. You may have that tome. It is a fantastic book. It is the end-all of how to prepare food, and many, many, many books have been written since. None that good. Very simple. No color pictures. It was done before they had all the rotogravure.
Wow.
Great book, and it's still, if you can find, that was a second edition. If you can find the first edition of it, you know, you can retire. It's fantastic stuff. So anyway, it's now in 30 or 40. The sisters died years ago, so their work is really well reputed. So I looked through that book, and everything stuck in here, and little tabs, and recipes cut from newspapers, and there was some stuff written in ink and some in pencil. I could tell my grandmother's writing, and a lot of her recipes were. My grandmother was a great cook. My mother was a better cook, but my mother was left-handed. I could tell her recipes from my grandmother's. And so I called my mom and said, where's the money? I couldn't even find it. Did you put the check somewhere I can't find it? She said, no, son, I didn't send you money. I sent you an opportunity. I sent to you. Your sister's got the silverware from the estate, from Grandma's estate. But I sent you the knowledge, because they don't cook. By the way, to this day, if I go visit my sisters, I do all the cooking.
Wow.
Because my mom, I was willing to cook. So let me just finish the story, and I'm going to answer every question you have. What she said essentially was, I guess, if I send you a fish, you can eat for a day, but if I teach you how to fish, you'll always be able to feed your family. And she said, why don't you write a book or something, you know, kind of sarcastically. And so I sat down and looked at that after we got the kids all to bed. I'm sitting on the sofa, settee, whatever you want to call it, and I said, I started laying them out on the floor. Now, these were the original handwriting, and to this day, I wish I had not cut them up with the scissors. But you couldn't make a photocopy in those days. I mean, you know, everybody didn't have a photocopy machine. It was a very expensive jelly-like process. It was expensive, like a dollar and a quarter per sheet, and it was a mess. And we didn't have any of those kinds of things in our home. So I started cutting them up, pasting them with Scotch tape, and the next thing you know, and that's where they had the stuff you could see through for a long time. It would turn yellow in no time. And I had laid them out, and I'd relay them out, and I'd cut and paste, and pretty soon I had, 10 or 12 chapters of different things, and I looked around, went down to bookstores, see what was going on, there were lots of books about this and about that, but nobody had ever put together all the basics. You could buy books on flour, and you could buy books on whole grains, and you could buy books on sugar and milk and dried milk and powder, all this stuff. But nobody had ever put it. So I said, why don't I put it all in one book because my mother and grandmother were I grew up on a 40-acre farm. We were totally self-reliant during the Second World War when I was growing up, and so I kind of organized it. And then I happened to have made a big investment, that was where all the money was, in one of those IBM bobbin typewriters. Remember the Selectric typewriter? It had bobbins. Yeah, you're too young for that. But that was before they came out with the executive typewriter that would do spacing. And it had a bobbin. You could change the bobbin and change the typeface. It could be bigger, smaller, whatever. And that's how I typed the first book out. Cover and everything was on that Selectric. And fortunately, my mom made me go to learn how to type. I was the only boy in typing class when I went to high school.
She was forecasting because she knew that you had computers today, so and now everybody talks and doesn't write.
Yeah.
We type and don't write now.
Yeah, that's right. So now I typed it out, and because my wife had her hands full of trying to raise four kids. We had a little girl, and then 19 months later, another little girl, and then about 18 months later, we had twin boys. And that was heck. H-E-Q-Q is what my wife called it. It was tough, because that was, and especially when you don't have a lot of money, and you're basically college students. So anyway, put it together, and found out there was going to be, I did it to kind of help my wife, because she did not have the experience of growing up on a farm. She's a city girl. And her parents were very. Her mother was a great cook, but gourmet level. And you know that's what we weren't at that level. So anyway, I kind of put the book together for her. And then I heard that there was going to be a local church was doing what they called a preparedness fair one weekend to kind of urge people to get themselves together. And I said I'll go over there. And so I ran. I had some copies made, just on one side alone, and it was. 200 pages, so that would have reduced it basically to about 115 pages, first edition. Sold them for $2 a piece, sold 1,100 of them and in 3 hours.
Wow. Ooh, wow.
Thought I was rich. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I had so much money. I'd never seen so much money since I graduated anyway. So that was in early March. Yeah.
Dr. Trump, I got a question. When your book came, it came media mail subject to inspection. Can you tell me why?
Yeah, there's a rule. When media mail cannot have anything personal in it, I could sign it, but I couldn't put an ad in it. I couldn't insert anything or a personal letter. Thank you for buying my book. You can't. It has to be strictly media. And so
okay.
Every once in a while they'll open one just to check it because I send thousands of those books to the local post office, and that's the first time in a year anybody's mentioned that they've been checked. So. They're just making sure I'm honest with the post office, like with the taxpayers.
Okay. When we saw it, we thought black helicopters were coming.
We had a little concern.
Well, I would suspect.
How?
I got an attitude. I may be on their list. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
How important is it that people become prepared? And because I've got to take a break in a few minutes, and I hope you're with me for a little bit longer. But I need to, because I want to dig into your book a little bit.
Okay.
How important is it? How important is it people become prepared for what?
Let me be a little bit shrewish, if not Jewish, for just a moment and ask you this. How badly do you want to live? How long do you want to be in charge of your own life? That's what really preparedness is about.
You know, most people are not prepared for anything. We have a hard time. I mean, we see it when, you know, Katrina, we see it. We saw it with Sandy, Hurricane Sandy. We are not prepared for anything. And
you
I don't think they teach preparedness either.
Yeah, well, you can't. Let me just start right up the front and be blatantly honest. You cannot prepare for everything because you don't know everything. I thought I had. I mean, I've been doing this now for, you know, I grew up that way, and I've been since 1970. I still have food I bought when I got rich quick by being an author. By the way, I've been self-published through all this. It's put six kids through graduate school.
Wow.
It's been well worth it. It's been spotty. It's been sporadic. It doesn't sell every week. There have been 5 or 6 years when I was out of print. But anyway, the point is, when we lost our baby boy, he's 31 years old, he died of sleep apnea. You can't prepare for that. I mean, it happened overnight. We didn't even know he was sick. He didn't know he had apnea, and he was gone, you know.
even in the lack of, you can't prepare for everything. But those things that you can't prepare for, we're not prepared for. America is not prepared for we're not prepared for a 3-day power outage.
That's correct.
You can see, you can't prepare for death, and you can't prepare for some other things, but you're not prepared for a 3-day power outage. You're not prepared for a bad winter storm. You're not prepared for a tornado that blows through. Even, you know, we were talking earlier in the year about even just having a 3-ring binder that had copies of all of your important papers laminated inside of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the book has a chapter in it that tells you all the details of every piece of paper you ought to have. But today you can scan it in a heartbeat, put it on a thumb drive, make duplicate copies, send one to California to a friend or a relative, and exchange with each one of them. And that way, unless it's total cataclysm, you know, obviously you're not going to have a hurricane that hits all four corners of the United States at one time and central part of the country. And so that way you can have backups all over the place that you can rely on. And today, because we have the Internet, you can update them in a heartbeat. And if you don't, why aren't you? Yeah.
I had never considered putting my stuff on a thumb drive and mailing it to somebody.
Well, that's why they pay me the big bucks.
That is a good idea. That is a good idea. What other helpful hints can you tell me really quick?
We can spend a lifetime, and I'll be happy to hang around and chat with you about it and even tell you what's found in the book.
Where can we find your book, since you are self-published?
You can go to, makingthebestofbasics.com. You can buy the book. You can't buy it on Amazon. I don't sell my book on Amazon.
I'm proud of you. Go ahead.
I don't need them. And I can tell you a long story about that. But makingthebestofbasics.com. You can look me up under Dr. Prepper. I fairly well own that. Or Making the Best of Basics or Basics. The book's been around a long time, and it's been a bestseller many, many years. Because I'm privately owned and privately published, I don't get on anybody's list because it doesn't go through the distribution system where they make the reports. But I've sold more books than one half of 1% of all books sold go over, something like 25,000, and I've done 800. So we're up there in pretty rare atmosphere. We hope we helped a lot of people and saved a lot of lives.
Now, Dr. Prepper, I got to say, you are somebody's selling your book on Amazon.
Used ones.
Yeah, but they're used books. You know, and they're more than you buy a brand new one for. Yeah, they're there, but they're not.
People
buy them
amazing.
And resell them. Yeah, they buy the box full and go resell them. Bless their hearts. It doesn't matter to me how they get it. It's as long as people get the information. I just don't discount because it's my life. It's my life. If I give it away, it tells people what it's worth, so to speak.
CD-ROM?
It's available on CD-ROM and by digital download in a heartbeat.
That is
awesome.
The CD
version has an extra 9,000 pages of PDF information in PDF format, which is good for any platform. Be read by any, the whole thing, the CD-ROM can be read on any platform, any kind of computer you have, because it's PDF. It's a picture. And you can print them out and print out pages and do the work. And if you ever look through and see the charts, the distinctive competence of Making the Best of Basics is it has these charts. If you'll sit down and work through them with your pencil, no, they're not digital. They're not supposed to be, so you can push a button and all the answers appear. You're supposed to sit down and work through it. If you do, you'll know who you are. You'll know what you have to do. You'll be able to establish your own budget. You'll sit down with your family around the table and say, who likes peas? Who likes corn? Would you eat, what do you normally eat? And you can talk about those things. It's a family preparedness handbook. Notice the subtitle, Family Preparedness Handbook.
Listen, let me take my break, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I have with me Stix is in the studio, and Dr. Prepper, James Talmadge Stevens, and you can find him at, let me get this right because I'm going to mess up his website, makingthebestofbasics.com. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Remember Twist and Shout, Hula Hoops, and Poodle Skirts?
To celebrate our 50th anniversary, Copeland Oaks is taking you back to the 50s with an old-fashioned summer picnic. Bring the kids and your neighbors for a special summer treat on Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. on the campus of Copeland Oaks in nearby Sebring. Rock with Rex Coombs at the Sock Hop. Reminisce at the Classic Car Corral. Kids will be challenged at the Adrenaline Rush Obstacle Course and Bounce House. And the whole family will enjoy the hot dog roast and ice cream social. So, be there. Fun for everyone at the 50th Anniversary Community Picnic, Friday.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The cost of a college education got a lot more expensive for many Americans on July 1st when interest rates on student loans doubled. Well, now the Senate's given a plan to freeze them for a year and F.
Democratic Senator Tom Udall called defeat of the proposed interest rate freeze on student loans disappointing.
Today, our nation's students are once again, they wait in vain for relief.
On a party line split, supporters of the freeze fell 9 votes short of being able to move ahead. Critics called the one-year plan just kicking the can down the road. Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte saying, like Groundhog Day, senators would be back next July in the exact same situation. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
In about an hour from now, Johar Tsarnaev makes his first appearance in Boston federal court. The surviving suspect in the deadly marathon bombings is charged with using a weapon of mass destruction in the incident that killed 3 people and wounded more than 260. Boston Police Commissioner Edward Davis.
If there is information that comes in about a terrorist threat to a particular city, the local officials should have that information. That there should be a mandate somewhere that the federal authorities have to share that with us.
Tsarnaev could face the death penalty if convicted. We are exercising more, so why are we still gaining weight?
Here's something of a nightmare scenario. You're spending more time at the gym, and your weight is still spinning out of control. This study says across the country, Americans are doing both, exercising and getting more obese. Chris Murray with the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation blames our diets.
It does look like to bring obesity down, it's going to take both increased physical activity, but also doing something about the total amount of calories that people are taking in.
Put another way, we still are what we eat.
That's ABC Scott Goldberg. This is ABC News.
Life is a wild ride, but even that couldn't prepare you for this. You're on your 9th wild ride. The Carnival Twist and Whirl, your granddaughter's wishes trumping your amusement park fears. And it's here, healthy enough to feel the joy over the terror that the question hits you. How did I get here? Was it just hard work or smart choices? Like choosing Rite Aid and exclusive benefits for seniors with Rite Aid's new Wellness 65 Plus program. You get free pharmacist consultations that include medication reviews, blood pressure screenings, and immunization checklists. Wellness 65 Plus also gives you points for every prescription, even Medicare, that earn you up to 20% off your Rite Aid purchases fast. All meant to keep you here. Now that you've actually gotten here, being the best and bravest grandma in the whole wide world, stop by and enroll free in Wellness 65 Plus at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Certain limitations apply. See your Rite Aid store or riteaid.com for details.
Do you have Hot Wheels? ABC's Karen Chase checks out a new study. The vehicles thieves and vandals target the most.
The growing popularity of pickup trucks stretches from the showroom to the street. Pickups occupy the top 5 spots on the Highway Loss Data Institute's list of vehicles most likely to be stolen or broken into, ending the nearly decade-long reign of the Cadillac Escalade. Number one was the Ford F-250 pickup, which has a theft complaint rate nearly 6 times higher than the average vehicle. The least likely to be targeted by thieves are the Dodge Journey, the Volkswagen Tiguan, the Audi A4 sedan, the Acura RDX, and the Toyota Matrix. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Police in San Francisco are asking for the public's help in finding out who left hundreds of meatballs laced with rat poison in areas where dogs could find them. Most of the meatballs were found and disposed of by residents, but one dog got sick and was taken to the vet. That dog is expected to recover. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Are you looking to save money on your heating and cooling bills this year? Quality Windows can meet all your window needs while improving your curb appeal and increasing your home's value. Family owned and operated since 1998, Quality Windows lifetime warranted easy maintenance windows can save you up to 35% on your energy bills. They'll bring the showroom to you.
Hi, this is Kevin Goldberg.
owner of Quality Windows. Call us today for your free in-home estimate at 1-800-863-9344. And you won't have to worry. There's no high-pressure, three-hour sales pitch with us. We don't require down payments, and we also have many different financing options available. And our prices start at just $179. And if you call in and mention this ad, receive an additional 20% off our Timeless series. And all of Quality Windows come with a true lifetime warranty.
Get your free estimate and more info at QualityWindowsLLC.com. 800-863-9344. Quality Windows. You've seen the rest. Now come see the best.
For high-end solid wood products, trust the Amish craftsmanship of Weaver's Furniture. Living rooms, nurseries, bedrooms, dining rooms, entertainment centers, offices, bookcases, and more. Handcrafted from oak, hickory, cherry, maple, and quartersawn white oak. Custom orders are available. Just stop by the Weaver's Furniture Showroom at 4537 Gates Road, Middlefield, Ohio. Check out the country home decor items while you're there. For store hours and more, call Weaver's Furniture 440-693-4685.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Where do you find the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio? At your local Ford dealer. The totally redesigned Fusion. Now just sign and drive away in a new Fusion with no cash due at signing. Visit drive1ohio.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm Tracy Winbush, and in studio with me is Mr. Six. Larry was in there. Mike is in the queue right now, and I don't think Bonnie's talking to us right now. She's just listening in. But we'd love to have you guys out there, and we want you to call in. The number is 347-945-5229, and we have a gentleman by the name of James Talmadge Stevens, and he has written a book called Dr. Preppers. Preppers are people that are prepared, and, you know, a lot of times they go so far off the grid that you don't pay attention. But they are people that are prepared for natural disasters. They're prepared for, the future.
Life.
Yeah, they're prepared for things that you don't happen every day. And things do happen. I mean, lights go out. Some of us
life
don't
happens.
Even have a emergency fire route for our kids and our families.
How many people with two-story houses have an emergency
ladder?
Ladder, rope ladder. Or
don't have
chain
it.
Chain ladder.
I know that there. When we say preppers, so a lot of times people say, "Oh, those are the people that are waiting for the end of the world." Yeah, those are some of the people, but that's not most. A lot of people are just prepared for natural disasters, things that can happen, so that they have a plan, no matter what, to take care of their family and to live and to survive.
Yeah.
Did I get that right, Dr. Prepper?
Absolutely. Actually, we made a commitment when we stood before that judge, that preacher, or whatever, when they read that. Read the marital commitment. He said, you know, during good times and bad, thick and thin, you know, stormy weather and sunshine, that we would take care of. We accepted that responsibility for each other, and then for
you didn't believe all that, did you?
Oh yeah, I'm a country boy.
That's what's wrong.
My
you
mama
didn't
wanted
believe
me,
all that.
My mama wanted to be a Charming Billy, so I had to act like that. But, you know, you mentioned something that I'd really like to take a moment with, because most people don't get this. In fact, most the people that, you know, when you've done this all your life and when you live out of your pantry, like they used to do back when I was growing up, like my grandmother and my grandfather did, if you live that way today, you have so much security because you know what you got, you know how to use it, and you practice the principles of preparedness. But there's so many little ins and outs that I can give you some insights that most people won't get, and it's free because
Please.
You give me the time to talk to you. You mentioned the end of the world, There's a saying it's one they use for fear, that the uninitiated, the unwashed, the stupid, they talk about Teotwaki, the end of the world as we know it. Those are the first letters of each one. The end of the world as we know it. Well, let me ask you a question, Tracy. Now, you sound like a grown-up lady. So let me ask, when you were in high school, wasn't that a blast? You had friends, you had groups, you had what would you call them? Clicks. You remember those days?
Yeah, that wasn't me.
I remember the days.
I had friends, but I never had clicks.
Okay, well,
I just tried to like everybody.
Well, some were in and some were not. I was out. I was always out, but it didn't matter. I was a country boy. I actually wore bib overalls first time I went to city school. Again, like Johnny Cash, I wore them when they weren't popular. I wore jeans when everybody else had wool pants. I mean, it was, you know, I wore knickers when people didn't have them because that's all I had. We were very poor. By the way, I don't know what leftover. I never ate a leftover until I got married, so because there were seven kids and there were no leftovers during those times. And you may understand and appreciate what that means. But Teotwaki means the end of the world. You know, well, when you got out of high school, regardless of what you did there, it changed your life forever. It was the end of the world as you knew it because you weren't going back to a familiar group, to classes, to the old stomping grounds. That all went away. So if you go off to college, it's a strange place. No matter how large your high school is, very few people, groups don't go to colleges. You have to take off on your own and learn how to fly out of your own nest. And then when you get there, you don't really have the same kind of organization unless you join something. And when you get out of college, that's the end of that world. You know, your academic world is over as you know it. You get a job, and boy, that changes things. And you get a mate, and you marry someone, and boy, that changes your world forever. And then the babies come, and if that doesn't change your world as you know it, you see, so our world is constantly changing. Increases, you get 3 hours a day. Now I could do 3 hours a day of radio. I mean, I do a lot of radio. We do 42 hours a week. On the Preparedness Radio Network, which I own, and we broadcast with 25 different show hosts on an hourly basis, information, strictly information, positive information, what to do, no religion, no politics, no conspiracy theories, no bull. I mean, we just help people like I'm trying to help
people,
give them
out.
Information. Pardon me?
Well, you took me out. You just told me you didn't want me on your radio program.
I didn't say. It's just that we don't phone up
indirectly.
People. But I'm trying to explain to you that Teotwaki, on the other hand, is that your life changes all the time, and you can't really go back, and that's okay. Most of it's positive, by the way. If you notice all the examples I went through, all of that was growth. You were growing out of your old world and into a new one, and that's the experience. That's the thrilling part of life. But the people who want to take advantage of you try to make that sound like it's bad, it's dumb, it's no good. But Teotwaki is positive, in my opinion. My experience talking to you, and hopefully after I finish with you and the people who are listening, that they'll say, "Oh, I didn't think about that." You see, if one thought enters your brain you haven't had before and convinces you helps you with your decision to make a good choice. That's the end of the old world as you know it. It really is. The mind is never the same once it's expanded to a new thought. So I look at my paradigms about preparedness are getting on the pathway to preparedness. Preparedness. Look at it this way. You're familiar with Dave Ramsey, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Dave says, live now like no one else. So in the future, you can live like no one else. What a great definition. For preparedness. In other words, prepare now so that in the future you don't get caught with your whatever.
Pants down?
Pants down, that's a good one. So the important thing is that you get on that pathway. Now, pathway is normally regarded as a small thing that winds and winds through some pretty rough territory. And so you get on that pathway, and that will take you to the road to self-reliance. Now, self-reliance will help you become more capable of taking care of yourself. Now, there is no such thing as total self-reliance. Our world is too complex. There are too many people as a part of it. We don't grow our own food much anymore. You know, we don't saw our own logs. We don't even go out and chop our own wood. You can buy it down at the little store where you get gas. Things have changed. We are a community. We're not a great community sometimes, but we are a community. And so you do something that I can take advantage of so that I don't have to spend the labor. I use the money I earn from expending labor somewhere else for your labor. And that's the economic cycle. But if you can get on the road to self-reliance, it's a wider path, you see, and usually it's paved, so you can see further down the road, and you can go a little faster. And then there's that highway to your happiness or to your haven, and then it becomes the freeway to your personal freedom. You see, it's just a matter of expanding your view, and you do that by becoming more capable, more able to take care of yourself, more able to determine, you know, self-determination. What do I need? What would I eat? If I could go in a grocery store right now and had the money, what would I buy that would sustain my life so that should another Sandy come through and the wind didn't blow the roof off my house and destroy it, how long would I be able to go after that without having to go to a store again? And Dave Ramsey really said it well. Prepare now so in the future you don't have to suffer. That's what he really meant.
So why is it? Because when I look at preparedness, it's not taught. It's not taught in schools. When I was growing up, you know, we did have some preparedness courses, but we had home ec and we had wood shop and we had classes on that order. All that's been taken out of the curriculum. So where do people learn how to prepare? And if you're not thinking about the future, and as young people, as teenagers, you're not really thinking because you think you're invincible, so you're really not thinking about the future.
True.
How
you're
in the
right.
world are you going to, and when I look at people who are living in the inner city, or people who are underserved, or people who are in poverty, they're definitely not preparing for the future. How do we begin to educate people for that mindset?
Can I give you a verity? Can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
Those people who have the least and live on the least will probably fare best, all other things being equal, if people don't prepare. Because, see, they're used to getting along with very little and making do with what they got. And being very resourceful. Have you thought about that?
I tend to agree with you on that because they know how to survive on less.
The demands are slow. They're looking for basics. They don't really care. You know, they're not worried about steak. They'll take a hamburger, half a hamburger in a trash can if they have to, because they subsist and they will make it. And that's a reality. The less, the lower your lifestyle, the easier it is to prepare. It takes so much less. I mean, you can live without three changes of clothing in a day.
Then I'm going to be all right then.
Yeah. Well, they have a better.
See, you're over preparing. I'm going to be good.
I'm not over prepared.
Well, you're
over prepared. I'm under prepared, and I'll just live like I always live under the grid. You know.
Well.
Yeah, but I'll have electric lights at night, and you won't.
Yeah, but I'll have gasoline in the car to get to your house.
Yeah, but the city's paying for your lights under the bridge, so you don't care. If it goes out,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm used to it.
It's a perspective, and the perspective is that today's preparedness is fear-based. It should not be fear-based. It should be faith-based, faith that you can do it, that you can learn, that you can become prepared because you're willing to put the effort into it. That you know, even I'm going to tell you, it's going to blow people's minds, but if you took everything I said and compressed it into a little kernel, it would be very powerful. Did you know the atheist can be just as spiritual as the Christian and go into church every Sunday Christian? Why? Spirituality has to do with what you do to those whom you love. Atheists love their wives, their kids. Heck, they died for our country. You can't tell me they didn't love their country, and they certainly love the lifestyle they're living. So you can't say they don't have a spirituality. They meant you can't call it something else, but it is spiritual because it's driven from within. That's what it takes to become prepared. You have to be driven. You have to have a driver in you that will motivate you through thick and thin, and that is spirituality. You know you have a responsibility. You see, when I took those vows, I took on the responsibility of the little lady, in my case, and for whatever we might propagate. That was my commitment, and I've stuck with it. And some days, you know, I probably need smacking around a little bit, but on the in the long term, I have been true to that commitment, and that is that spirituality. And without that, nothing else matters. And that's the first driver that you have to have, that you know you will do it, whatever it takes, that you'll just do it. And it's, you know, preparedness is really about prudence. It's about peace, and it's about prosperity. Because if you're alive and eating, no matter how badly you're eating, you're better off than the guy that died yesterday because he didn't have enough to eat. You have a future.
So where does a new family start? You know, you've got
you've got a
young man and a young woman that just got married. What's their first steps? Because I mean, you look at your book and it's
the decision that preparedness is a priority. That's the first thing you have to do. It's that spiritual driver. You have to sit down and agree that this is what we're going to do. Or one of them has to be so strong that they just do it in spite of the flack they
get. Okay. They've made that decision. Where does the path start?
The path. What would you think the second most important thing would be in a relationship, in a family, after you've decided to do it? What comes to your mind? Let me put that back on you and think for just a minute. Think deeply. What's the most important thing you have to have if you're going to be prepared?
The first thing I did with my family that I consider is starting to be prepared was I went out and got disability insurance.
Okay. That's good. That's insurance. And by the way, preparedness is insurance. You're your own life insurance agent, and you're the one that has to pick out the policies. So that's good. But what physical things do you have to have to start with? Could I suggest that it ought to be a place? A shelter of some kind, because I'm sure in Youngstown, when it gets cold in the winter, not many people sleeping on the streetlights.
No.
That are alive.
No.
So shelter in a really cold environment, you won't last very long. In the desert, you won't last very long. So you need shelter. Because if you're going to get prepped, where are you going to put your preps? You've got to have a safe respite. You have to have a place that is yours, that you can defend. I don't mean with guns and bullets, but that you can defend against the economic onslaughts. Does that make sense to you?
You've got a point there. I mean, you've got
so
a trailer.
It might be a humble apartment, a little trailer, or a shed in the woods, or a cave. But you can. It's yours, and it's a place that you can call, for lack of a better word, home. It's a place that you can have as a place to put your other stuff. It's a place where you can have a fire. It's a place where you can cook your food. It's a place where you can put your stuff. It's a place where you can protect your family from the elements as well as from the other elements of society. So that's so many WAGs, the wrong agenda group, the people that make it up as they go and steal information from others, have no clue and usually don't have a job. Will tell you that no, you gotta have food, and you gotta have water, because their common statement is you can live 3 minutes without air, and you can only live 3 minutes without air, and that's stretching.
That's a lot.
You can live 3 days without water. That's stretching it too, by the way. And you can live 3 months without food. That's really stretching it. Those aren't basics. Shelter is basic because it's a place where you can put some food. It's a place where you can breathe. It's a place where you can have a place to get some rest. It's a place where you
can
store some water.
Give us some ideas of shelter. I mean, we live in. I mean, most people. When I really think about it, if we were to have a tornado, and it would come and wipe out. You know, a couple city blocks.
Yeah.
Outside, if surviving it, your next step would be to have shelter somewhere and Well, most people don't have the means and or the ability.
No, that's carrying it too far. The home you live in, the apartment you live in, the place that's your primary residence right now is your first priority, because you've got to strengthen that. I tell people, they say, well, I live in an apartment on the top floor. Well, you better better hope that you've done your homework and you don't live in a hurricane zone or a tornado zone or an earthquake zone or tsunami zone or whatever. You know, we have the Chamber of Commerce, the local agricultural people. There is lots of information about things that can happen in your territory. So your first responsibility to decide where to put that shelter, and that shelter is what you have. Some people live in their car. I know people actually live in their car. They live in the station. They sit in the back of the station wagon and eat, and they use restaurants for their shaving, shining, and showering. I mean, whatever. There are all kinds of people, and I know all kinds of people. But the point is, your shelter is your home. It's a home that is defensible against the society of ill-behaved people. And it needs to be something where you have within the community that you can help create among others who are like-minded with you, who will understand and appreciate what you're trying to do for your family and want to do the same for theirs. And, you know, we don't tell everybody what we do. I don't tell everybody where I live. You can find it in a heartbeat. But, you know, the thing is, I always tell them, people say, well, we're going to come and live with you. No, you're not. You got to get here in the first place. And the other thing is that I'll put you to work. If you're going to need someone to work,
that's right, Tracy. Remember,
long ago, I will help you, but you're going to help me. So the thing is, I'm not talking, Tracy and Lloyd. I'm not talking about going out into the woods and building a hideaway. If you don't leave in time, if you don't leave before you need it, you won't be able to get there anyway, because it's going to be total chaos. And it'd be dangerous to leave your primary shelter to look for your secondary. You got to be there before you need it. It's kind of like a parachute. You got to have it on before the plane starts to go down. You know, it's too late to try to find one and put it on and learn how to use it when the plane is screaming at a 45-degree angle. So, you know, preparedness is a mindset. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. And you start thinking like that, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. In your shelter, you should be able to have fire. You should be able to have sanitation and water and food and the ability to cook it. If you don't have that in your shelter, you don't have shelter. You don't got game. You're not ready. And then you worry about getting a big supply of food and a big supply of water. But you want that security and safety, because that's peace. That's safety and security when things are going when heck in a handcart or the poop hits the propeller. We're a G-rated program, so we talk about it that way. That you want prosperity is living through the things when others die. That's pretty dang prosperous.
Okay.
Have we got to the point where we're exciting yet?
You're exciting. I mean, but it's just something to think about. You know, I'm reading it here, and it says get a kit.
Who
said
that?
Your book.
Yeah, ultimately.
Get a grip on reality, says go and grab a go.
Get a grip on reality, yeah.
A grab and go kit.
The reality is, yeah, the reality is.
A bag, a bag.
Yeah.
Or a get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
So that you have, so that you're prepared to move, you're prepared to move quickly.
Last thing I'm going to do is leave my shelter. It's very expensive. It's my whole life. I've spent my whole life. It's 7 acres. It's 2 houses. 3 barns, 10 roof, stone built in 1929. I could never replace it with because I'm retired now. My income is way, way down there. So the point is, it is what it is. I put it together. I'm not going to leave this place. You're going to have to prize the door key out of my cold, dead fingers, for heaven's sake.
Well, I've told Tracy often that my family's prepared for pretty much everything except a direct hit from a tornado. And that's one of those things I don't think anybody can really prepare for.
True. Yeah, you can't. unless you have a place underground that, and make sure you can get
Stop
out of
prepper.
It.
Don't give him any ideas, because he'll go home out there in the middle of nowhere and start digging. Don't give him no ideas.
I've been thinking about.
Right. I know you've been.
I've been
thinking
about putting a hole. I got a bank barn. I could put a hole. I could put a doorway in there and start digging.
See what I mean? Don't give him any ideas.
Okay, back that out. So actually, if you don't prepare, if you have no preparedness, you're going to be a victim. If you have some preparedness, you know, even if you make it up as you go, you can get through some disasters and some emergencies. But if you live the lifestyle, that's the other rule, if you live the lifestyle of being self-reliant, then you've figured every contingency possible for everything you can think of and that has ever happened within that within your area of influence. That's, of course, good. Ain't cheap. Can't do that without spending making a big big investment in you and in your family. You know, one of the things I really like, Audrey Hepburn.
Hey, Dr. Prepper. Before you go there, I need to pick up a call because I got a call coming in. Private caller, your mic is on. Hello? The caller just called in. You got a private number.
Hey, I don't know if you're talking about me. I shouldn't be calling private, though.
You calling private, honey. How you doing, Rick?
I'm good. I was just calling. I'm clueless on where you at, so if Doc wants to continue, then I don't mind.
Okay. We're talking about being prepared just as a family for whatever is to come. We have a gentleman by the name of James Talmadge Stevens, and he wrote a book called Dr. Prepper's Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook. And most people are not prepared for anything. Like I said, we're not prepared for a three-day blackout. And we don't have time anymore.
No,
he's written this book, and it's pretty intense.
Yeah, but Tracy, I got a question. And now this is one of those bad questions that you shouldn't ask people. You know, I got to ask. And this isn't just for the gentleman that's talking about it. It's for anybody that has one of these help-you-out guides to wherever you are. Like, generally, you know, the way they sell the book is they tell you about the problem, and then they leave you with a question about how to solve it, but the answer's in the book. So you got to buy the book. My concern then becomes, is the book a true guide
it is
helping
a,
you out?
It is a real page-by-page. If you go do it, if you look up the research, you will find it, and you can put it together, all the way down to the containers that you put your wheat in.
He's even got recipes in there to take powdered milk and make cottage cheese.
I love it. I love it all. But realistically, people that need help, they probably need some money to buy a book. And if they don't have money to buy a book, they probably don't get the help.
You missed that part of the conversation because he said those of us that can't afford the book, we'll probably fare, like you and I, we'll probably fare better because we're not used to having any food anyhow, so we just know how to starve and make it on our own. But then there are, I mean, you know, the question is, I have all of my phone numbers, all of my phone numbers are in my cell phone.
Right.
If I have a power outage and I can no longer power up my phone or the cell towers go down, how am I going to call Sticks and tell him I'm in trouble if I don't know his number and I don't have the emergency numbers written down?
Well, that's a human dilemma.
That's what I'm saying. So if all I have is, he said, to get a flash drive and put all my important papers and things on them and mail it to someone who lives in another part of this country, so that if I lose my passport, my driver's license, everything, I've got everything scanned onto a flash drive, that at least I have my identification if necessary. I mean, that's just common sense that we don't think of.
You're right. Until they figure out a way. Well, but think about it. I like that. I have to, Trace, because if nobody's thinking the same way, nobody's going to have any type of difference. Now, let me be me. If they shut the world down,
we ain't talking about shutting the world down. We're just talking about having, you know.
We're just talking about surviving a tornado or a hurricane or something. Yeah, a snowstorm.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about.
If the world comes to an end.
Rick, if the world comes to an end, guess what?
I ain't going
to
be here to worry about it.
That's true.
I mean what I said.
You might not be covered, but I'm covered. Hold on, Rick. Dr. Prepper, what were you going to say about Katharine Hepburn?
Oh, I was just going to. Well, way back when, she was one of my favorite actresses. In fact, I had permission from my wife that if she called me collect, I could accept the call and leave immediately thereafter to join her. So that's how much regard I had for her. She said something I've never forgotten. She said, "Nothing is impossible." In fact, the word itself says, "I'm possible." And I've tried to remember that because anything you can do anything you really put your mind to. If you're willing to make the, shall we call it, a sacrifice to get there, most of us aren't. And so we can become as prepared as we want to, as much as we're willing to give up other things that we do. People have cars and clothing, and they go out and they drink and they smoke and they carry on, and then they say they have no money left for preparedness. Excuse me, let's turn it the other way around, and let's take care of ourselves before we go have the fun. See, that's being mature. That's growing up. That's ceasing to be a victim.
Well, listen, Dr. Prepper, I want to thank you for your time, and I thank you for coming on with us and spending the last hour with us. Your book is very intense. It is very, very extensive, and one of the most extensive books that I found on preparedness. I've read a couple of them, and you even tell people, you have vendors in here that tell people where to go and buy certain things and how to take care of things and, you know, treating water, storing water, you know, making yogurt.
Mm-hmm. From scratch.
From scratch. You got a pretty good cookbook going on here. How's the food in here?
Well, it's basic. But I grew up in the South. I tell you how to do barbecue, Southern barbecue.
Is barbecue in here?
Sauce. Yeah.
Okay.
Tells you how to dehydrate foods so that you can do it in your car. You can do it in your attic. You can do it in the sun. There's so many ways to do it. You can do it in the oven. At low heat, just put it in with the very, very low heat, and overnight you can dehydrate foods you can buy cheap when they're just as they're getting ready to go out of season. You know, at full season they're expensive or beginning, then they get cheaper and cheaper, and you can buy them and dry them and put them in a jar, put them in a sack, put them in a plastic sack, and there's so much you can do if you know the shortcuts. And that book is basic. It's how to do things simply.
Doc Pep. You got a new name. What is sprouting?
Sprouting is taking seed. Sprouting is the most effective way to get healthy. It is the most effective way to turn wheat seed, any kind of seed, into grain, into food. Wheatgrass. Are you familiar with wheatgrass? The benefits of wheatgrass?
I've read about it.
Okay. You can grow it in a windowsill. And you, it's very simple. I'll tell you how to do it in the book. So if you will take seed, most of them you soak overnight and then pour the water off, just cool water, just let them soak. They soften up, and you pour the water off to rinse them and just put them over to the side. You can do that in a colander. You can do it in a bowl. You can do it in a pot. You can do it in a quart jar. It's so easy. And the book tells you many different ways to do it. There's charts. And if you'll just then rinse them two or three times a day. The reason you have to rinse them is that they're giving off nasty little stuff in growth. They're transpiring and getting rid of the bad stuff so that the good stuff remains. And the typical seed will have 100 to 175 times more nutrition than the raw seed. For example, you take a wheat seed, you can turn it into flour. But if you sprout it, it's 100 times more nutritious for you. You can lose weight. One of the greatest things to do on a cool evening is get popcorn and put some alfalfa sprouts in it and get your favorite dressing and pour it. It's low calorie. It's crunchy. It's munchy. It's delightful. And, you can lose weight. And it fills you up.
Are you serious?
All that's in the book.
All that's in the book.
So sprouting is an excellent way to it's how you can grow a garden without getting dirt under your fingernails.
I like that.
Every child going to school at the age of 6 knows how to sprout. They come home with a little jar and say, "Mommy, look, I got a plant growing. I got a tree growing here in this jar." They learn. They're taught in kindergarten how to sprout.
I like this basic honey butter cinnamon buns, too.
Oh,
I'm going to stop now.
Oh, the good. The wheat section is really good. I love the wheat section. That's why the
burger
salad.
There's a lot of sex. There's a lot in here.
Yeah,
so you can find this book.
It's not about bullets. It's not about guns. It's about butter. It's about how to live. I was a regular army. I learned how to shoot a gun. I carried a gun, but it's not about guns. That's the scary stuff. That motivates the patriots. You know, it makes people feel good. But you know, eating it makes me feel good. having my tummy full of warm food, that feels good.
That gives me a warm.
That's why I'm overweight.
That's the one thing I noticed about Mr. Stevens' book here. That's the first preparedness book I've ever seen that starts out with things like insurance and budgeting and daily life stuff, so that life doesn't sneak up on you. I mean, that is what made me really take notice of this book.
Well, remember my training was in accounting, and I have an MBA, and so obviously money is important for everyone. It's the medium of exchange. I will tell you this: I think our next society, they talk about barter, and they talk about bullets, and they talk about guns, and all this other, and gold and silver. Pooey on all that stuff. Everybody eats. Food is going to be the next.
Food is a commodity.
Yep.
Dr. Purple, thank you so much. I gotta go. I gotta take another break, and then I'm gonna close out my show. But I want to thank you for coming on with us. I appreciate you. And please go to his website. You can find him at www.makingthebestofbasics.com. You can find the book there. It's on CD. There's a digital download, or there's some bundle deals, and you can get the whole thing nice. And then you have I was checking this out. You can actually go on there and get a weekly newsletter.
And
so all of
our radio programs, we do 42 hours a week of instructions by 25 different people, and you can get in the archives. We're on Blog Talk Radio just like you are.
Oh, that's awesome. What is your name on Blog Talk so people will know?
BTR/Blog Talk Radio/Dr. Prepper. I mean, how simple can it be?
How hard can it be?
Thank you
a lot.
I truly appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome. Have a blessed day. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
This dishwasher brand in the U.S. And now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the Ford Focus offers quick, nimble performance, advanced technology, and great mileage. Lease a new Focus today with no cash due at signing. Another reason why Ford is the number one brand in Northeast Ohio.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com.
That's FitFamily1.com.
Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology. All the engine protection you will ever need in a 50% recycled oil that is designed specifically for today's hotter running engines. Finally, performance meets environment. Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The James D. Winter Jr. Arts and Culture Center welcomes you to Theater on Three in downtown Sharon, July 18th through the 20th. A Pocket Full of Rhymes takes to the stage at 7:30. Mother Goose introduces the next generation to her greatest hits in this energetic musical review. This show for children ages 2 through 8 is based on beloved Mother Goose nursery rhymes and children's songs. Parents, grandparents, and children will enjoy the classic songs set to catchy contemporary music. All children will get front row seats where they can dance and interact with the performers. Doors open at 6 for a free dessert and candy buffet with lots of children's activities before the show. There are fun drink specials for mom and dad, too. Make your reservations today by calling 724-983-8222. That's 724-983-8222. For more upcoming events, visit accsharon.com. Sponsored by Cumulus Radio and Quaker Steak and Lube.
The Cumulus Health Club and Ragazine Dental Care present today's health tip. Your child's developing teeth can benefit from a little fluoride. This mineral prevents tooth decay by strengthening tooth enamel and making it more resistant to acids and harmful bacteria. Your child can get fluoride from toothpaste and from water. Most municipal water supplies are fortified with adequate fluoride. Call your local water authority to find out about yours. If yours isn't, or if you get your water from a well, ask your child's dentist whether you should give your child a supplement. You can get a prescription for a fluoride supplement in the form of drops or chewable tablets. Bottled water and fruit juices may also contain fluoride, although the amount isn't always listed on the label. This health tip has been brought to you by Dr. Ragazine, where family dentistry is the cornerstone of his practice. Establishing healthy habits at a young age is key to a lifetime of good dental health. Call 330-545-8120 or visit RagazineDentalCare.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 606. I got something to tell you. The time is 2:47.
Yeah. I can't go home yet.
We don't get off the air until 3 o'clock. So you can pack up early because people can't see you packing up.
But you can't walk out the door.
But you can't leave. Just because it looks like there's going to be rain and you're trying to get home and do all that kind of, we're not done yet. Hi, guys. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Mike, your mic is on. Fix, you're in the studio still. You got 12 more minutes.
Ain't no going home.
Where are you going?
Home to my lovely wife.
I like
She's listening today.
I like your wife, too. Hey, how you doing, Mrs. Sticks? It's good to see that you're listening. Hey, you can't just be running off like that. Sticks was packing up here and head out the door. And then he hears the music going, oh, well, maybe I ought to sit back down. He's just talking to me about the day. Oh, yeah, he gave me a little book. Now that I don't need the book, he gets the book back. So, here, you can have it now. I don't need it no more. It's over. I'm like, okay, what?
You got me. It's thundering and lightning and storming and flash flooding and...
Bonnie, I know that's you. See, Bonnie's not even talking to me either. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. Tomorrow we have Health and Wellness Day. And so you know that starting out the day, we will start with Dr. Brandy from Turning Point Counseling. And we're going to talk about, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Oh.
And if you hang around bad company, it has something to do with your mental health and how they can shape your patterns. Just yeah. by the company that you keep. And then when Dr. Mason comes on, we're going to talk about medicine. He's going to be at 2 o'clock, and I think I forgot Fifth Family in the middle. Fifth Family, we're going to talk about isometrics. Those are ways to exercise while sitting down at work, sitting in your office, in your car, waiting at a light, sitting watching television, movements that cause you to have some type of stimulation within your body by just not being stagnant even as you sit.
The 12-ounce curls count?
Yeah, if you don't drink the 12 ounces. Absolutely. I think there's some 3-pound balls we use inside of Pilates, and I want you to know those 3-pound balls are mean. The first 10 are a piece of cake. The next 100 is mean. So what are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow's
Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday. I've got some rental stuff I have to do in the morning, take care of some little repairs here and there. And I got to start loading my van I just bought with all the stuff that I need to be carrying around with me so that I'm not going to the store every 5 minutes.
Okay.
If it's not raining, I'm going to mow grass probably.
Now, do you get to bundle your grass, the hay, in the summertime, or do you just wait until fall for that?
No, you cut it a couple of times a year, the hay.
Okay, so
I got to mow the yard.
Oh, so your yard is not hay?
No.
Oh,
actually, I cheated this year. I sold the hay standing in the field to another guy. I didn't make it this year.
Don't be cheating.
I got all this high quality radio stuff I have to keep doing. You know, I don't have time for everything anymore.
Now, don't be.
I give you at least 2.5 hours a week outside of here.
Ooh. Put it on my time clock.
I'm putting it.
Okay.
I'm keeping track.
Oh man. Don't keep track.
Like I said, when you become Oprah, I'm gonna be knocking on your door.
Didn't the man just tell you he doesn't tell people where he lives? Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Didn't you hear him say that?
Yeah, I heard him say that.
There's a reason why he doesn't do that. Hey, Mike, are you there? Oh, they're just hanging on. So we'll just hang them, put us on speakerphone, and do all that. I enjoyed the conversation about taxes. We have to do that again because I think that's pretty important to most people, and we need to be mindful of it. That's a pretty intense conversation. I want to thank Dr. Prepper for coming on.
Yeah.
And Mike, you're there.
Yeah,
I thought you ran away,
Tracy, but I was listening.
Yeah,
I love Dr.
Yeah.
Prepper, and you know, I'm glad he teaches what he teaches, because I know whacked out preppers who are the extremists and left and right, you know, or right and left, you know, and man, they stock up on bullets. I don't care how good of a shot they think they are. Enough people come on, I'm going to take them out long before they get to use their 81,000 bullets, you know.
Hold on, Mike, just a second. For the guy who's in the chat room called New Man 5, he said, when I become Oprah, I won't know anyone. Listen, I still go back to my high school and talk to my teacher. I don't know what you're talking about. And I've been out of school 2 years. You never forget where you come from and the people that supported you on the way up. That's a sign of a bad person, the people that forget.
Sure. That's
well, there's another saying that, too, though.
What's that?
Never forget the toes that you step on the way up. They'd be attached to the behind you have to kiss on your way back down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, jeez.
Absolutely.
So,
and I agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
I agree
with Dr. Prepper's message. It is about personal resourcing. You know? And of course, that's kind of dovetailed to yesterday's conversation, Tracy. You know, come on. At some point, there's just some stuff you got to do for yourself.
Well, you know, but you have to have, again, you have to do it for yourself, but you have to have the mindset and or the drive to do it for yourself.
And if we look at how, and you know, Dr. Prepper doesn't do politics, but if we look at how the American government has killed the American spirit so that no one has any more drive. They don't want you to be working your little butt off and trying to become something and making it for yourself. They want you to say, come to government and let me take care of you. It's almost like, come to Papa, I got this. America wants to be America's pimp.
Yeah. We saw how that worked with Katrina.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we saw how well that worked.
And that's just more than just you know, the simple things like being prepared. That's in everything. They don't want you to be independent of the system. That's why they attach our health care to our taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some things that have been done in the past in law that people don't realize that are going to, that could be used against anyone who stores food or is prepared, because there was a Supreme Court case in 1946 where a man was growing wheat for his own family's use, and the Supreme Court ruled that he was jailed. And the Supreme Court ruled that he was influencing interstate commerce because the wheat that he was growing to feed his family was impacting the market. And that is a scary ruling, because you could carry that straight through to anybody with a garden and a canner.
Since you mentioned the Supreme Court, and I'm going to go a little bit off topic, and we only have about 3 minutes before we go for the end of the day, and I want to thank everyone for listening and calling in and being a part of our program. Now, the Supreme Court ruled, because we paid attention to Trayvon Martin, we paid attention to the Voting Rights Act, and we paid attention to the overturn of DOMA. But they also ruled that I'm trying to read this and pull it down so I don't read the whole thing. United States Supreme Court also made a ruling on lawsuits against drug companies for fraud, mislabeling, side effects, and accidental death. Now over 80% of all drugs are exempt from legal liability, good or bad. So if you put a cream on your face, and there's a woman who had a drug company failed to warn a patient that toxic epidermal neuralysis was a side effect, and she put it on her face, and now her whole face is now paralyzed. And she can no longer go after the pharmaceutical company. It says in a 5-4 vote, the United States Supreme Court struck down a lower court's ruling and awarded an award for a victim of a pharmaceutical drug adverse reaction. According to the victim and the state court, the drug caused a flesh-eating side effect that made the patient permanently disfigured over most of her body. The adverse reaction was hidden by the drug maker and later forced to be included on all warning labels. But the highest court in the land ruled that the victim had no legal grounds to sue the company because of its drug exempt from lawsuits.
It could have been an experimental drug. Or what they call one of the orphan drugs.
But they said that they hid it from it. They knew, and they did not tell it. They knew about it, but they did not disclose it because it was it was minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, because, I mean, every day you see 1-800 bad drug, you know.
That's bad drug, but there were some drugs that were excluded. And the question is, will those drugs now go off market? Because right now they're saying, you know, this just happened yesterday.
Okay.
So I don't know where that falls into line.
If they intentionally hid it from her, I don't see how they could be. I mean, I don't see how they could have ruled that way. It doesn't even make sense.
The lower court did. The pharmaceutical company took it up to the higher court, and in a 5-4 ruling, they found themselves to not be compliant and or complicit in that. Listen, guys, I'm at the end of the day. Tomorrow is health and wellness. I'll probably bring this up with Dr. Mason. But I do want to hear from you on tomorrow. I want to hear from you on Friday. So we'll be here. The number is 347-945-5229. Please have a safe day and have a good afternoon. And we'll see you back here on tomorrow at 12 noon. God bless, and we'll see you then.
Pregnancy questions? Ask Dr. Canby at progressivewomenscare.com.
The Cumulus Health Club and Vlad Pediatrics present today's health tip.
Whether you're a new parent or a seasoned veteran, Dr. John Vlad and his team know you might have many questions about infant and toddler health. Which vaccines does your child need? What's the best way to take your child's temperature? What should you expect at well child exams? What are the latest developments in infant and toddler health? The more you know about infant and toddler health, the more comfortable you'll feel caring for your child. Start by sharing your questions about infant and toddler health. Remember, nothing is too trivial when it comes to your child's health or your peace of mind.
This health tip has been brought to you by the caring doctors at Vlad Pediatrics. From preventative care to illness, you can trust Vlad Pediatrics with your family's care. Now accepting new patients at 330-841-7337. Vlad Pediatrics, Elm Road in Cortland. More tips and info online at vladpediatrics.com.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOS.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show. 330-781-9600. 1-800-530.
Sundaria Albinger, the surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombings, is about to make his first appearance in court. Jaghar Tsarnaev arrived in a blaring motor cave a few hours ago.
Tsarnaev will enter a packed federal courthouse today, facing terrorism charges that could give him the death penalty. Prosecutors plan to file 30 separate counts, ranging from carjacking to using a weapon of mass destruction. Some of those who sustained physical and psychological wounds that horrific April day, say they will be there.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. George Zimmerman told the judge in his murder trial that he has not yet decided if he will.